Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning reading comes from several sections of Acts. The first one is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, starting on page 1691 in your Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia." The next section is Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And the final section is Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 6 on page 1724. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied.
Today we examine the Christian practice of speaking in tongues. Those outside the church often say it's nothing more than gibberish, but some Christians claim that it's the purest form of prayer beyond the constraints of normal language.
In yellows and red here.
At the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Andrew Newberg is looking for an explanation for what most regard as unexplainable.
I mean, it's not language. It's not regular language, at least, that would normally activate the frontal lobe.
Newberg is exploring the relationship between faith and science, studying what happens in the brain during the deepest moments of faith.
If we're really going to look at this very, very powerful force in human history of religion and spirituality, I think we really have to take a look at how that affects our brain, what's changing or turning on or turning off in our brain.
They're going to go around very fast right now.
He's recently published a study of Americans speaking in tongues. Remarkably, he discovered that what's happening to them neurologically looks a lot like what they say is happening to them spiritually.
Let's make sure we got your whole head in there.
We asked Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus to come to the university to have his brain scanned while he speaks in tongues. This way, we could see the experiment in action.
Just go ahead and you can begin prayer.
First, he's told to pray in English.
Father, I pray for each of the family members involved in this study. Grant them what they are looking for in their personal lives, for their vision and their potential.
Then he's told to speak in tongues.
This is the first scan when he was in prayer, speaking in English. This is the second scan when he is praying in tongues.
Pastor Stoltzfus's scan showed that his frontal lobe, the part of the brain that controls language, was active when he prayed in English. But for the most part, it fell quiet when he prayed in tongues.
When they're actually engaged in this whole very intense spiritual practice, religious practice for them, their frontal lobes tend to go down in activity, but I think it's very consistent with the kind of experience that they have, because they say that they're not in charge. It's the voice of God, it's the Spirit of God that's moving through them.
In earlier studies, Dr. Newberg looked at what happens in the brains of Buddhist monks meditating and Franciscan nuns praying. and it was noticeably different from what happens to tongue speakers.
That's in fairly stark contrast to the people who are like the Buddhists and the Franciscan nuns who are in prayer, because they are very intensely focused. And in those individuals, the frontal lobes actually increased activity.
But Dr. Newberg isn't out to prove or disprove anything. He can tell you what happens in the brain, not why.
How fascinating is that? The distinct difference between praying in tongues and, say, a Buddhist monk's meditation or a Franciscan nun's prayers. It's a gift of controversy, yet it seems what it offers is something unique that you cannot receive or achieve in any other way. A recent study of over 1,000 evangelical Christians found that those who engaged with praying in tongues regularly were more emotionally stable and mentally happier than those that either had tongues and didn't pray regularly or didn't have tongues were in day-to-day life. Let me share with you a little bit of my testimony. I'd never heard anyone pray in tongues. I'd heard about the gift. I'd done a gift survey and I was kind of interested. One of my friends had gone overseas to do some compulsory service for the country he came from, and he didn't speak the language. He was praying for the gift of tongues that he might be able to speak with them whilst he was over there. He didn't get it. But I was interested by this gift. I thought, oh, this would be a good gift. And so one night I was sitting there on my bed, having never ever heard anyone speak in tongues, and I kind of felt something inside of me. I had something to express, but I didn't really have the words for it. For me, there was kind of this welling up from my belly, and it's like my tongue felt fat, and I wanted to speak. The room was peaceful. There was no atmosphere of hype, but this feeling got all of my attention. As I surrendered to the Holy Spirit, who's the Holy Spirit? He's our teacher. And so having never heard it, he taught me how to speak it. And in that moment, I spoke out tongues, and it sounded weird, and my tongue felt weird. And I experienced kind of a mix of peace and joy and, what is this? And yet peace. And the next morning, I reflected back on the night before. I thought, that was weird. I've never heard anything like that before. And so I talked to God, and I said, look, God, I don't know what that was, but if it was tongues, whatever it was, I want you to take it away because I don't want to do it again. And so what happened was I couldn't actually do it again. He took it away and I couldn't even do it if I tried. Let me give you a little working definition of tongues as we look at it this morning. The gift of tongues is a divine enablement to speak unintelligible, inspired syllables of praise and prayer in a language one has never learned. It may be angelic, heavenly language, or it may be human language. I've spoken in both another language and a heavenly language. And once I was speaking in tongues and a word kept coming up and the Holy Spirit prompted me to look it up, and I looked it up and it was a word in another language that was, when translated, relevant to what I was praying about. Tongues is something that may be spoken, muttered, or sung, muttered in sort of barely inaudible groans. What is it? It's a divine enabling, the Holy Spirit stirring us to speak. But the Holy Spirit, as you speak in tongues, he allows you to control flow. He allows you to control your intonation, your inflection, the decibel level. We speak out of our heart where the Holy Spirit rests. As with any language, though, it grows as you use it more. And so people that pray for tongues for the first time often have one word, and they might just repeat one word after another. Some will have lots of words. I really love Joyce Meyer's story of how she got tongues and what that looked like. She spoke out these four words a few times, and she thought, what is this? This is gibberish. Get a hold of yourself, woman. And so kind of put it away and thought, didn't intend on coming back to it. And she was helping her daughter out with homework. And her daughter's homework was on Latin. She didn't know Latin, but she was trying to help her daughter. And so she was looking stuff up in the dictionary. And as they came to different words in the homework, she realized that what she had said was not actually gibberish, but it was words in Latin. And what she had said was omnipotent Heavenly Father, all-powerful Heavenly Father. And so words of praise had come out. And from that moment forward, she realized, actually, it is a good gift. But there's no other gift that kind of requires the same type of self-surrender, surrender of dignity and composure, or the same kind of humbling of intellectual pride. It's kind of a way of describing it might be if you were to sit up on stage in public, if you were to pray in public, and it was like an egg was cracked over your head and you kind of felt it running down. And until you tasted it, you realized, you thought, oh no, there's egg all over me. Everyone's looking at me. This is weird. And then you taste it and you realize it's not egg. It's honey. It's sweet. It's beautiful. And it's good. See, there's no other gift like it. And there's nothing like it that requires such humility for us in receiving and using it. Reinhard Bonnke talks about our resistance to it in Taking Action. He says, our real handicap is pure instinct. We say, I am me, and nobody else is going to get close to me. Nobody else is going to get so close to me that anything I do is not completely me, not even God. So what we do is we zip our souls up and we regard the Holy Spirit as an intruder. He wants to make our bodies his temple. God wants us to not only spiritually but physically experience him, and that's the revolution of Pentecost. And we go, oh, this is outside my comfort zone. Accepting the gift of tongues is kind of an acknowledgement of a person's acceptance of Jesus as Lord, not just Lord, Jesus is my Lord, but Jesus is Lord of my tongue, he is Lord of my whole body, he is Lord of my whole life. James talks about that the tongue is the most unruly member of the human body. He describes it like a rudder in a ship that's able to turn a whole ship. And so if God's got our tongue, he's able to direct our whole life. With this gift, we acknowledge that God is greater than our understanding, and he works in ways that transcend our understanding because he desires for all of us to be closer to him. So why don't people like this gift? Fear, bad experiences, misunderstanding, more fear. Often people are seeing Christians behaving badly, or even just Christians speaking in tongues, misunderstood it, not understood it, felt like an outsider and not liked it. People have been fearful because of what it might require of them. But the Bible's clear about this. It's a gift that continues until we see Jesus face to face, a gift until the perfect comes, Jesus returns, a gift that we won't need when we see him because we will be face to face with him and won't need anything to bridge the gap. Now, some people go, oh, yeah, tongues is a good gift, but watch out for the evil tongue. Don't get that counterfeit evil tongue. Because, you know, every spiritual gift has a evil count of it, like the evil one tries to mimic the spiritual gifts. So people go, watch out for that kind of witch doctor babbling kind of stuff that I see going on over there, because that's not God. And so we cast judgment on that. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I want all of you to have the gift of tongues. And nowhere does he say, watch out for the evil one. Watch out that when you ask for the gift of tongues, you don't get the wrong one. Why does he say this? Why does he not warn us? Because, as it says in Luke, when you ask your father for a good gift, your earthly father, you ask him for a fish, he doesn't give you a snake. He gives you a fish. Earthly fathers know how to give good gifts. And so he says, how much more does our heavenly father know how to give good gifts? So if we ask him for the gift of tongues, we don't need to be fearful that he's going to give us the wrong thing. If you've seen something and not liked it, it's often because you've misunderstood it and feared it as a result, or people have maybe misused it in an unhelpful way that hasn't thought of you or invited you in. I can understand why there will be barriers. I had them. Self-surrender is not something I do well. It's not something we do well. We like to control ourselves, let alone the environment around us. But if our Father is good, and we believe that, yes? Yeah, we believe our Father's good, then surely this is a good gift. So what does God think of this gift? Well, it's good, obviously. It's from him. But also think about it. What happened in Babel? God divided the languages of the people. He spread them out, because what he saw is when the people conspired together, they didn't work together for good. They worked together for evil. And so languages were spread from the earth. What happens at Pentecost is there's a common language for unity driven by the Holy Spirit. And it's the starting point for the breakthrough of faith and the invitation of salvation to all people. So what it does is it creates an environment for radical unity. If you look at Acts 2, all spoke in tongues and everyone heard them speaking in their own language. It wasn't that they all spoke in Hebrew. These were Jewish people gathered from all nations. So what they heard was the Medes, the Persians, they heard it spoken in their heart language, their mother tongue, what they spoke day to day. God opened the message of salvation and birthed the church. In Acts 10, what happened there? All the people spoke in tongues, and for the leaders of the church, that was evidence enough. The Holy Spirit was on them, and that Jews and Gentiles, so those that were non-Jewish, were able to be united in the church. So it caused unity again in Acts 10, and was a product of unity in the early church. You see, tongues causes so much controversy. Some people like it, some people hate it, some people are just kind of indifferent to it. But actually, the anointing on tongues is to create unity within the Christian body. It's ironic that the evil one uses it to create disunity. It is actually made, anointed to create unity. It's the seedbed of revival and miracles. In Acts 19, which we heard read, what follows immediately after that? People are bringing handkerchiefs and aprons to Paul, and they're taking them away, and people are just getting healed, and evil spirits are being driven from them just by touching the handkerchiefs and the aprons. See, what had created that environment? It's the unity of the Spirit created as people prayed in tongues together and went out from that place in Ephesus. Final thing, there's lots more, but in Revelation 7, 9 to 10, it gives us a picture of all people of all nations, of all languages, joining together in unity of praise. So when we join together in tongues, together, we are joining in united praise at the same time and having a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like when we all join in the same language to praise God. My question to you is, why wouldn't we want all that God provides? This is a good gift. So back to my testimony. I kind of rejected and said, no, God, I'm not comfortable. I told this story to someone else, and as I was sitting with them and praying one night, I felt this feeling come back again. And I thought, oh, I feel like I need to pray in tongues again. But I'd never prayed out loud before anyone else. I didn't know what it was going to sound like. I didn't want to do it. And so I said, look, God, you blow that candle out that's sitting there, and I'll pray in tongues. The candle went out. I didn't pray in tongues. But the person, I wanted another test. The person that was praying with me, I said to them afterwards, it's really weird. I felt like I wanted to pray in tongues again as we were praying. And they said, oh, that's funny. I was praying for you to get the gift back. They didn't pray in tongues. And I thought, well, that's probably a few too many coincidences. Okay, God, I'll do it. And so I prayed in tongues out loud. And that person was really blessed and just touched in their heart by the way the Spirit spoke. And just gave them the feelings of comfort and encouragement. So in practice, I used it for praying for others and often regularly saw God touch people as I prayed over them audibly in tongues. Bypass the mind to reach the heart. About this time, I was taught that prophecy comes or revelation comes through praying in tongues. And so 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. And when it's interpreted, it is the same as prophecy because it's God speaking. And so I used it in this way, and I would get words of knowledge and pictures and visions and communicate them then in English. And so I saw it as a gift that I could use for praying for others and for praying for words for others. But I didn't really use it that much. I didn't value it. And I probably used it more and more infrequently. So I arrived here, And I joined the Monday night prayer, which regularly happens every Monday. And I knew there was someone with the gift of interpretation there. And one Monday night, God prompted me to pray in tongues at the end of the first song out loud before everyone. I thought, oh, okay, no. So the next song came on at the end of in the middle of that song, God prompted me to pray out loud in tongues again. And I thought, no. Third song came on, and God more strongly prompted me to pray in tongues at the end of the song. And who knows that if God prompts you three times on something, you don't refuse him again. And so at the end of that song, I pulled up all my boldness and prayed out loud in tongues. And it didn't really feel anything in particular, but the person that had the gift of interpretation translated it, and I realized in that moment that what I was saying weren't just any words. It wasn't just babble. It was words of praise to God. And that just flipped my understanding of the gift, because I hadn't really read scripture and gone, what is this all about? And so I began to look as to what this was all about. Someone else received the gift that night, and I began to think, why wouldn't I want this gift? If it's a good gift that God gives, why wouldn't I want to use it? It's a gift from him. What I want us to do now is look at 1 Corinthians 14. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the foyer. We're going to look at a big chunk, so let me encourage you, pull out a Bible on your phone, pull it out on the Pew Bibles. It's page 1785. If you stick your hand up, an usher will bring a Bible to you. But we're going through a chunk, and I want you to see what's written in Scripture. This letter is written to a bunch of Corinthians who maybe we were a little selfish in their use of the gift of tongues. It got a little bit out of hand, and so when they were praying in tongues, they were going after stuff, and they were obviously getting good stuff because they were doing it at the cost of their relationships with other people and with outsiders. And so this letter is, this 1 Corinthians 14, so page 1785, is written to a people that are misusing the gift, but it's not saying the gift's bad. And so when I've read it before, I've kind of gone, crappy gift. When I read it again, I've pulled out the bits of goodness that God was saying about the gift. So we're going to start at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. So it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They are mysteries by the Spirit. So tongues, it's spoken to God. Others can't understand it unless they have the gift of interpretation. Heidi was sharing about that at the start. So you can talk to God out loud in front of others. Unless they have interpretation, they don't know what's going on. But God can be ministering to you in that moment. Verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, so it's designed for personal edification. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. So Paul wants us all to be edified in this way. But I desire even more that you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Why? Because prophecy edifies the whole church body. It's not saying that tongues is a bad gift, but that all people will be edified is the aim. But he goes on to say, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified and therefore strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. So tongues can function in the same way as prophecy, as the whole church is edified by interpretation. Verse 6, now brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? So it's useful to others when interpreted, but sometimes the way the revelation comes is God's love can bypass the mind. So revelation can come in words, pictures, feelings. God can speak to the heart, and that can be the revelation. Verse 7, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. So it's saying, seek interpretation, that there is meaning in tongues, whether you know the language or you don't know the language. In Acts 2, they didn't know the languages, but they happened to be real languages. Whether it's a heavenly language, there's room for interpretation. I like what Derek Prince says. He speaks of tongues and how when we interpret it, it must not be necessarily understood as a word-for-word interpretation, but it's more a dynamic equivalent, a sense of what someone is saying when tongues are communicated, because often words are repeated frequently. And so when someone communicates it, it may be really short for a long passage of tongues that someone has spoken out. For some people, the way interpretation comes is it may be a word or thought in a mind, and they might have to speak out the first word before they get the rest. For some, it might be like in their mind there's a projector and the words just appear, or a scroll and the words just appear. Still others receive visions, a sense or a feeling of what God might be saying in their heart. Others interpret it in different ways. And so when someone's praying in tongues, you're just open to however God might want to speak. Verse 11, it says, "If then I do grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it's with you. Since you're eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in tongues should pray that they may interpret what they say. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Think of that image in that first clip that I showed you, where the mind is not active. You're able to use your mind as you pray in tongues to get words and pictures and talk to God about what he's talking to you about. So verse 15, "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding." So you can sing in tongues, you can pray in tongues, you speak in tongues. The person praying in tongues may often be able to interpret their own tongue. These words are words of edification for others, and therefore they function in the same way as prophecy. So verse 16, "Otherwise, when you're praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else," so it's about praising God in the Spirit, "how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving since they do not know what you're saying?" So in worship, and this applies for all circumstances, we need to be concerned for others and what others around us are experiencing. We need to think of them before ourselves and not just go after what we want. Verse 17, "You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified." So it's also about giving thanks to God. Verse 18, he says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Paul places great value on this gift, but to a Corinthian church that is so self-seeking, he's saying, place your value on each other, but value this gift. For their own individual sinfulness, he's warning them, calm down, think of each other, be aware of what is going on around you. So verse 19, "But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it's written, 'With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me,' says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers." Paul quotes Isaiah here, and he's saying tongues is a sign for unbelievers because it declares judgment on them. If someone comes in and everyone's speaking in tongues, they know they're not part of the group. If they don't understand it or if they're judging it, they realize at some level they're an outsider. And so that very entering in brings a sense of judgment on unbelievers. They're not part of the one language of the Spirit and what God is doing there. Christian community today can't be conclusively said to be the same as what happened at Pentecost, but nor can it be said to be different, because we know in Acts 2 they spoke the other languages of the people that heard, but we see later in Acts 10 and Acts 19 that they spoke other languages and there was no audience, but they were speaking from their hearts to God. What happens is when we judge the gift of tongues is we judge ourselves to be not part of God's community. And so that's a challenge to us if judgment comes on us as we see others. Verse 23 says, "So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? And so the unbelievers show they're under judgment because they're calling the work of the Holy Spirit a work of the evil one or a work of insanity. But Paul is instructing the church to behave in a way that's accessible to those from the outside who come in. Verse 24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then should we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So this gift, like all the gifts, are designed for the building up of the church when used in that circumstance, but when used for oneself, it's personal edification, so the building up of the self. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in the tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So this shows us that you can in church speak in tongues. As long as you're considering those who are around it, you can speak in turn. You can control it as a gift. It's not out of control. It's something that is designed for edification. And so if two or three are being interpreted, it's likely to see what the Spirit is saying to the church and getting confirmation of that as prophecy because it's interpreted. It shows they're looking for a message. Let's skip forward to verse 39 of chapter 14. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Let me give you a quick summary of some of the things I picked out there. Tongues is spoken to God. It's mysteries in the Spirit. It's about personal edification. It creates relational closeness with God as we praise and thank him. Knows no language barriers. It can be speaking the words of God in prophecy when interpreted. It can be used in intercession for others. Can then build the church. Brings judgment to unbelievers. Can be controlled. And is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that shouldn't be forbidden. Different tongues. There's different tongues for different needs. And this is one of the things I've grown in the last couple of years. And so I can recognize patterns in tongues in the way that I speak. And so there's one that I have for praise. There's one that I step into when I'm wanting revelation or intimate communion with God, building a faith. There's one that I step into and it's quite distinct for spiritual warfare. And then there's another one that's really distinct, which is about releasing joy in me and other people. And some of you might have experienced that one as it just changes the atmosphere, not only in me, but in others. My role in praying in tongues is to bring my heart into alignment with what God is doing and what he wants me to do. It's about my surrender of the tongue, the most powerful instrument of the body, to him, to invite him to have his way, his kingdom come, his will be done. Tongues is an amazing and a powerful gift. It's a gift, and I'm showing you a tiger tank here. There's two ways to start a tiger tank. You can either start it with the battery that's in it, and that can get the motor going. The other way is by cranking it by hand. And what it does is it spins this wheel, in this flywheel inside the engine until the time is ready and they engage that flywheel with the engine and it starts it up. They use this particularly when it's cold and the battery's failed and it's not working. And so tongues as a gift is a gift that is able to spiritually ignite people. Someone may come in cold and be started up as they speak in tongues. It's something you can speak whenever you like. It's a gift that starts the engine, and you'll see the guy start the engine very shortly. But what it is it's a gateway gift. It's a gift that opens up the way to other gifts as you come to God in a place of surrender. But then it also opens up you to act more powerfully in the gifts and to be used more powerfully. Significant speakers around the world often pray for a number of hours in tongues before they speak, not reading what they're going to say, but aligning their hearts with God. And they're the kind of people that are used powerfully by God. And so this is the kind of effect. And I love this picture of just a man cranking something slowly. It doesn't really look like anything's happening. And then suddenly you have this big tank. This powerful machine of war that's been ignited as a result. And tongues is the same with us. You know, when I hear people talk about tongues, they're kind of, I've got the gift of tongues. It's an all right gift. Yeah, I use it occasionally. And so people kind of just park it off the side. Yeah, it's kind of a lesser gift. Or people talk about it and go, the gift of tongues, more a prophecy, more. I go after the better gifts. And they kind of discard it as a gift. And God doesn't want either of us. You see, this gift is a powerful gift. In recent times, I've learnt more and seen in practice the way that this gift can not only establish a new environment in yourself, but change the environment around you. It can not only bring peace to you, but it can bring peace to others. What's happening in the spirit world? See, what is happening is your inner world is being aligned with the kingdom of God. And as your heart and your mouth, your whole self is being aligned with the kingdom of God, what's going to be released when you speak? The kingdom of God. This is a powerful gift. The other night at the men's seminar on stress and anxiety, we did this relaxation exercise. It was about 15 minutes. It's a really good exercise of just relaxing yourself and dealing with stress. But 5 seconds of praying in tongues is far deeper, more powerful than 15 minutes of doing that. When I was in Sydney a few months ago, Tiva will recall this, I was just speaking in tongues a lot. I was just walking along. Tongues were just coming out. And what had happened is I'd lost my hand luggage. And everyone knows you carry your most precious stuff in your hand luggage. And so I'd lost about $4,000 worth of stuff. The whole time of the conference, I was just full of perfect peace, full of joy, just aligned with what God was wanting to do. And tongues brought that. It just changed my environment and it established an environment in me that was able to change how I engaged with what was around me. Not all Christians speak in tongues. Older Pentecostal teaching said, well, you had to speak in tongues for you to have received the Holy Spirit. Most modern Pentecostals will say, no, actually, all people can speak in tongues, but you can have received the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues. Paul himself says, do all speak in tongues? Implied answer, no. But he does say, I would like everyone to speak in tongues. Joyce Meyer talks about the upper room and the day of Pentecost. And she says, look, if God was only wanting a few of us to speak in tongues, the story would have gone kind of like this. There was a bunch of believers in the upper room. They were praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit came, and tongues of fire landed and rested on some people, and 85 of them prayed in tongues. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says all of them spoke in other languages. And so Acts 2 is a pattern for us of how God wants the church to work. Mark 16 says, these signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will heal the sick. Let me be clear, there's no first-class, second-class Christian, but there's a good father who has good gifts, and he loves to give them. He loves to give them. What child, when their father invites them to open a gift at their birthday, kind of pushes the gift aside and doesn't want it? Well, some children open their gifts and go, terrible gift. But they don't tend to get many more gifts after that, right? And so that's why it's a gateway gift, because it's about us surrendering to God and the good things that he wants to give to us. It's a gateway gift because you'll find as you surrender your tongue to him, he'll unlock other stuff in you and take you into a whole new place of intimacy in your relationship and walk with him. Why would we want this gift? There's so many reasons. I have like 7 pages. I can run an advanced seminar for you on the benefits of speaking in tongues. There's helps when you don't have words to say. It brings peace, joy, refreshment, revelation. It brings alignment so you're in step with the Spirit. It's one of the ways that we pray in the Spirit. It helps increase spiritual gifts, brings breakthrough, breaks the language barrier. As we pray for the unknown, it brings unity and spiritual alignment. One of the things I really want to see is a time where a bunch of people gather together, all praying tongues, praying with a unity, in alignment with the Spirit. And because that is the kind of environment of Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, where God unlocks the gift of faith and miracles happen. I want I want to see that kind of environment happen. I've not experienced it in this way, and I think it's because maybe 5-10% of people understand the fullness of this gift of tongues and the rest kind of discard it, even those that haven't. But God wants us to be kick-started in this gift because it's the gift that kick-started the early church. Do you remember the sequence of what happened? The Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit landed on them with tongues of fire. What came next? Was it preaching? People like me preaching? No. It was tongues. Tongues then interpreted and preached changed the world as the early church was birthed. I want to see this kind of thing happen amongst us. Let me be clear. It's okay if you don't speak in tongues. God wants to give you good gifts. And the reason the enemy loves to stir up controversy around this gift is because the enemy doesn't want us to be in a place of unity, let alone alignment with God the Father. He loathes secret languages that render him powerless to get what's going on. And he really, really wants us to be full of all the things that get in the way, like doubt, fear, unconfessed sin, inadequacy, judgment. So how do we speak in tongues? We remember how good our Father is. We don't have to work up hype. We just ask him, God, this is a good gift. You talk about it in your word. Can you give it to me? Be aware of the signs. Be open to it. Let me list out a few of them for you. That you may have a word in your mind, and so sometimes it might just be you get one word to start with, and you just repeat that word. It might be an impression in your spirit, a sense of certain sounds or syllables in our mind or speech, a heavy tongue, maybe a tingling or a welling up from the chest, a single word in the mind, a heart beating faster, a desire to speak without knowing what to say, an urge to communicate in prayer, an unusual feeling in the tongue, a desire or a longing in the heart. There's lots of different signs, and it's different for everyone. The way that God may stir is different for everyone. But you don't need a sign to start, just a reason for doing it. And I hope I've given you enough this morning. And then what do? We step out in faith and speak and trust that he's a good Father. So as the worship team come up, I'm going to pray for us and just pray and invite God to bring the fullness of his spirit. Let me just invite you to close your eyes. I just want to wait quietly on God. As you wait quietly, you just might want to offer your voice to him. You might want to confess if there's any ways in which you've judged the gift. Lord, forgive us for judging the gift. Forgive us for not valuing the gift. The people in the upper room waited until they received power from on high. God loves you and he wants his best for you. When we speak in tongues, we open our mouth as the Spirit gives utterance. We speak forth what we hear coming up inside. We tune into him. We forget about what's around us. We consider them, but we forget what people think. We don't let fear control us. We look to God and invite him to have his way in us. So Lord, as we meet here this morning, we tune our attention to you. We tune our attention to what is happening in our spirit, not our head. Lord, we know in John 7 that it says, out of our bellies will flow a river of life. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you'd flow that river of life up from our bellies. Don't be concerned about what others think, how you sound, whether your tongue is the right tongue. Just give yourself to the Lord and trust him. For those that have tongues, I'll have a handout later just for ways which you can grow in tongues. But let's be a church that prays boldly. Don't compare your experience. Look to your Father. He loves to give good gifts. And if you're physically feeling something, if you're aware just of something, even if you're not, just partner with what God is activating. So, Father, thank you that you're with us, that you love us, that you desire to give good gifts to us as your children. And, Father, we ask now that in your grace and your favor to us, that you pour out the gift of tongues, that you'd open our mouths to speak. That you release in us, release us from us, Lord, that we may be more connected to you. I'm just going to pray in tongues myself now. As we gather here this morning, I feel like God's just saying, God the Holy Spirit is pleased. He's pleased with where our hearts are at. He's pleased with our willingness to invite Him. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. The Father's calling us to listen. The Father wants to release us into peace and to joy. There's more when we're ready for it. He's saying there's more when we're ready for it. And so, Father, just make us ready. Make our hearts ready. Bring us as a people into alignment with you. In Jesus' name, amen.